Shane cut that last song, I kind of got excited. I was like, hey, I get more time to preach. And so it might be a little bit longer. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to walk through actually a few texts of few passages of Scripture this morning. And it's going to be more, so when you meet together, a lot of times you'll have what's it's just a straight preaching, so to speak, right? You'll have a text, a passage of Scripture, and you'll come up and or I'll come up and I'll preach on it, and, you know, really passionate about it, you know, voice picks up, and I get really excited about those things. I'm excited about church, about church structure. I'm excited about church topics and everything like that. So this is going to be today. It's going to be one of those sermons that is more kind of a teaching than it is a particular, hey, let's leave here and go do this and that. But this is more of a look at, let's look at some passages of Scripture. Let's see what the Word of God says about the church, what the Word of God says about being particularly what we're going to be looking at today, a member of a church. What does it mean to be a member of the church? And we're going to start in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. So last week, what we did was we looked at the first local church, that was formed in Jerusalem, right? So we have this 120 disciples of Jesus that gathered together and are waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then as the Holy Spirit comes upon these 120 believers, Peter, kind of the leader of the disciples here, starts to preach a sermon. And as he's preaching the sermon, everyone in this hearing of this sermon begins to hear the sermon preached in their own language. And they can miraculously understand the sermon. Well, after the sermon, he preaches the gospel, and there are 3,000 people. Think about that. That's this gym, and this probably what we have in here today, filled probably about 20 times of what we have here today, right? 3,000 people. If my math is wrong, then correct me afterwards, okay? I'm just doing this math quickly in my head. So about 3,000 people added to their number in one sermon in one day. And this begins the church, the local church in Jerusalem. Well, last week we looked at this, started our series that we are the church. And we're going to look at it today at a topic that I think is sorely misunderstood, at least in our day. And that topic, over the next couple weeks that we're going to be looking at, is church membership. What does it mean to be a part of a local body of believers? What does it mean for you and me to be a part of a local church? And we're going to look and we're going to see that it's just more than just being present with the body on Sundays. And really, it's more than just being present with the body on Wednesdays. It's more than just being in this room and worshiping through music and hearing the sermon. That's more, being a church member is more than those things there. But being a church member biblically means something more. And so this week, this week and next week, we're going to look and we're going to answer some questions. We're going to answer these questions here based on Scripture. What is church membership? Is church membership really that important? Is church membership biblical? The idea of what we think about church membership today, is it the same kind of idea that they had in the New Testament early church? And then the last question that we're going to mainly focus on next week is going to be, how can I be a healthy church member? How can I contribute healthily, if that's the word, healthily, help me out here. We'll make it a word this morning, all right? How can I contribute healthily to my local body of believers? And so we'll look at that mainly next week. So this week we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. We're going to dive straight into the Word, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to get going. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. Paul's writing to the church here at Corinth. And he says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less of a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. For if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffer, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." Let's pray. Lord, we look at your word this morning. God, as this word teaches us, and not just merely informs us, but helps us to set a foundation of how to be a biblical, how to be a strong, and how to be a healthy member of the local body of believers. And Father, we are depending on your Spirit to help us understand, to help us see in your word how we can be, Lord, most effective in our own individual lives, most effective, Lord, to benefit the kingdom of God as a corporate body together. Lord, we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
The first question that we're going to talk is this. We're not going to talk about what is church membership. I think the first question that we need to tackle is this. Is church membership really that important? Because we're going to tackle this first, because we need to understand that church membership is actually essential. That church membership to the life of the individual believer is essential. And we're going to address this question by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and breaking it down. Now, there's a few reasons why the Apostle Paul writes the letter of 1 Corinthians to the church in Corinth. Number one, he's correcting immoral behavior that's happening within that local body of believers there in Corinth. Number two, he's promoting unity and he's speaking against divisions and factions within the church. You see, in the early church of Corinth, a lot of the members of that church were divided. They were saying, I'm a Paul. That's one of the division that they had. I'm a Paul. Paul baptized me. And then some of them said, no, I'm of Apollos. Apollos came in. Apollos baptized me, right? And so they have all these different factions and these different cliques that were within the church. And so Paul is writing to correct those factions and those divisions within the church, and we'll speak more on that in just a second. Another reason why Paul writes this letter is because he gives them an outline, a form of church liturgy that they should follow. In other words, a sort of order of how the church should conduct themselves when they meet together. But one other reason that Paul writes this letter to the church is to tell the church in Corinth what the local body is supposed to look like. And as we said last week, the word church itself has two different senses within the New Testament. Number one, the church universal, which includes all believers throughout all time. But the second way that the New Testament uses the word church is it talks about the local body of believers. And so which one is Paul talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Well, as we read in the context, it's very clear that he's talking about the local body of believers. He's not necessarily talking about the church universal here. He's talking about how this local body should conduct themselves and what they should be like and what they should look like. And so this is going to imply several things for us. As Trace Street Baptist Church here this morning in New Johnsonville, Tennessee, this implies several things for us as our local church body. Paul uses the illustration of an actual body, right? This is why we get the term church body, right? Because he says, in this illustration, he says, some are like an ear, right? Some are like a hand. And the ear can't say, I'm of no use, I'm no part of the body, because I'm not a hand, I'm not really a part of the body. A certain member of the body can't see. And likewise, you can't look at another member of the body and you can't say, because that's an eye, he's not really a part of the body because it's not as useful as the hand. And so Paul makes this distinction. I want to point out three different things. And if you've been following along in your note sheets, you've noticed that I probably haven't got to the first point within like 35, 40 minutes into a sermon. But I got good news for you. We're getting to the first point right now, okay? We're going early this morning. So we're going to look at verses 12 and 13, and we're going to fill out that first blank. And we're going to pick out some things here as we see in this text. Verses 12 and 13, it says this. Paul says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit." Now remember, in context, he's talking about the local body here. He's talking about the local church in Corinth. Now this applies to us as Straight Street. This applies to every local body of believers that meet. This applies to First Baptist Church in Waverly down the road. This applies to Pine Grove Baptist Church where I grew up in Livingston, Louisiana. This applies to Riverside Baptist Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. This applies to every local body of believers. And what Paul is saying here is that, number one, this is your first line, is we're united because we all drink from the same Spirit. Therefore, there should be no what? Division among us, right? There should be no division among us. Now, think about this. We were all, this church in Corinth, we're divided. This church in Corinth had some factions in it. This church in Corinth had some cliques in it, right? This church in Corinth had some people that said, I follow Paul. They had some people that said, I follow Apollos. They had some people that said, I follow, Joe Smith. There were some people that said, I do this. There were factions within this church. And Paul says, look, if you are drinking from the same Holy Spirit, if you are united under the same body with Christ, if you are joined together, there is no Jew, there is no Greek. We are all under one person, and that is who? You can say that? Jesus. Jesus Christ. We are all united under Jesus Christ. And let's take this even further. You know, as a local body of believers, I don't know if you've how much your experience has been with different local bodies of believers, or how much your experience has been within certain churches. but I have seen churches divide over some silly, silly things. Amen. Have you seen that before? They divide, you know, maybe over the color of the carpet. Right? I don't know if that was an argument here, but that's just an example that I've heard commonly used. You know, is the color of the carpet going to be white? Is the color of the carpet going to be green? Is the color of the carpet going to be silver or blue or red or whatever? And you have different factions within the church. My opinion is this. Now look, I'm not speaking against opinion, right? Opinion is welcomed. Opinion is, we all need to have, as members of the body, we all need to have our voice when heard within the members. But when we divide over silly, silly, silly things, things that aren't ultimately important to the kingdom of God, Paul's saying here in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those are silly things to divide. You are united under Jesus Christ. And if you are united under Jesus Christ, there are no silly things that should be divided with you. You should get over your divisions. Now, yes, ultimately, we have to pick a color for the carpet, right? Ultimately, yes, we have to decide whether or not we're going to paint the parking lot. Ultimately, we have to decide whether or not we are going to do X, Y, and Z. Those things have to be decided, but those aren't things that I am going to hate my brother and sister for. Those are not things that I am going to leave the local body of believers for. Do you know why? Because those aren't primary issues. They're not. Primary issues are the gospel of Christ. Primary issues are dividing or uniting over doctrine. And Paul says this to the church in Corinth. Look, we are united under Christ. Because we are united under Christ, we need to love one another and be in unity and find a way around our disagreements and our differences here. Verses 14 through 20. Let's move on to the next thing. It says this, for the body cannot consist of one member but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it less any part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it less any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The second point I want to point out to you here, to show you the note sheet, is this. Each member of the body is a part of the united whole. Each member of the body is a part of the united whole. I want you to look in verse 18. In verse 18, as we look at this passage, but as it is, I want you to answer this out loud as you look at your passage of Scripture. But as it is, someone arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Who arranged the people or the members in the body? You want to answer it out loud. Who did it? God did it. God did it, right? Just as God creates a human body, and he didn't make the whole body an eye, and he didn't make the whole body an ear, that would look pretty strange, wouldn't it, right? That would look pretty, you know, unappealing. As it is, each part of the body has their own function. Amen? As a human body has their own function, Paul is making this argument. He says, it is God who arranged the parts of the body. And so it is with a human body, and just as it is with a human body, it is God who has brought each individual member, think about this, to this church. It is God who put each individual member in Trace Creek Baptist Church. It is God who functioned them that way, who united them in that way. And because it is God that was united in him, has united them in that way, because it is God who has done that, we have to trust the Lord that each member of the local body of believers serves their own function within the body. Amen? You serve a function in the body. And each member, together, works together as a part of the united whole. And I think this is a very beautiful picture because it serves to highlight our next point, which we're going to get into now. Verses 21 through 26, he says this. Paul says, "And I cannot say to the hand, 'Look, I don't have any need of you,' nor again can the head say to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body seem to be weaker and indispensable. And on those parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, and which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." This is your third point that we need to realize here that Paul is trying to make. He says, each part of the body, no matter how visible or behind the scenes, is essential to the proper function of the body. How does that relate to us here at the church? Now, we have different parts of our human body, right? We have different parts of our human body. Some get more attention than the other, right? Our face, the moneymaker right here, right? The face gets more attention than, let's say, the pinky toe, right? But if you were missing your pinky toe, you'd probably notice it, right? and some parts of the body get more attention than others. Let's say the hair, right? How many of you ladies or even guys spend a considerable amount of time in the mirror doing the hair, right? I'm slicking my hair back, right? Because my wife likes my hair kind of more volume to it, and so I do it to please her, okay? I don't do it just to look cool. I do it to please her. I'm not pleasing any of you guys. I'm pleasing her, right? And so I do that, but this part of the body gets more attention, right? Then let's say my left knee, which has been getting a lot of attention for me lately because it hurts, right? Especially getting on and off the stage, right? Frankie, you see my knee kind of buckle, right? And so some parts of the body get more attention than the others. Some parts of the body, as we know, for being a human body, get exposed more than others. Some get more attention. Some seem like they get greater use than other parts of the body. But that does not mean that those parts of the body that don't get as much use are useless. That's not what it means, right? Every member of the body is useful, right? Even your appendix that they haven't found a really, I guess, useful part for. I got my appendix taken out when I was 7 years old. There's probably some function to that part of the body, but I can tell you what, I noticed when it was gone, as I'm hurting and recovering from that surgery whenever I got it taken out. Now, we don't want to take the analogy too far, but Paul says this about the church body. Look, listen, each one of you serves a function. Each one of you is indispensable. Listen to this. You might be sitting out there, and you might be thinking this, as a member of the church, or as someone who is involved in Trace Creek, a local body of believers, you might be sitting out there, you might be thinking, I don't serve much of a purpose. And really, they wouldn't notice if I was gone next Sunday. But I can tell you what, if you're functioning as a healthy church member, you are indispensable to the body of Christ. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, I don't know if really I'm serving my part in the church, then you might want to ask yourself, am I really using the gifts to the capacity that God has given me to be a part of the church? That may hit some of us hard, right? Because someone like me, look, I'm paid staff. I'm up here every day of the week. I'm involved in the church because I'm a pastor. I have to be involved in the church, but it does convict me to the point where there are some gifts that I have that I'm probably not using to full capacity to contribute to this local body of believers. So the question is So the context to the local church simply means that every believer is a part of the local church and is, or should be a part of the local church and is necessary to one another. And you are necessary to my walk with the Lord. Listen to this. You, individually, as a local member of a local body, you are necessary to my walk with the Lord. Just as I am necessary to your walk with the Lord. And this is how it should be within the church. And Paul is saying here, he says, look, you need one another. And he goes on, he lays out examples of different gifts. Later on in the chapter, he lays out examples of different gifts that he gives to how each church member is a benefit to each other. Now listen, I'm not ignorant of the fact that no local church is perfect. If you find a local body of believers that is perfect, that you think is perfect, just wait. Just wait, right? Because they're not perfect. As wonderful as Trace Creek Baptist Church is, we're not perfect, right? We have flaws. We have shortcomings. We have issues here and there. And hey, look, we deal with that. Why? Because we are members of the body that have differing opinions, and we're not all the same. We're not all in ears, so we're going to conflict it here and there, and that's okay as long as we have that spirit of reconciliation, as long as we have that spirit of unity, and as long as we have that spirit of gospel ministry together. That's okay. That's okay, and it's going to happen, but. Like I said, I think that one of the biggest reasons why Christians, why believers tend to go rogue, and I believe that one of the reasons why believers tend to live their Christian life by themselves and say, you know what, I'm done with the church, is because they're fed up with hypocrisy, drama, and negative things that sometimes often local church life brings. And if you've been a part of a local church involved in a local church, there's probably some measure of being a part of a local church on the surface that you can probably avoid that. But if you're involved in a local body of believers, sometimes you see that. And I'm not discounting the hurt. I'm not discounting the hurt that sometimes, unfortunately, that those local bodies of believers, they end up causing. And that hurt's very real. And there are many local churches that have drama and so much hurt and so much animosity. And guess what? It is hard to be a part of a body of believers that's like that. Would you not agree with that? And sometimes it is. And we're not going to ignore the fact that sometimes it's hard to live within a local body of believers. And it's sad that many churches are going to fight over the most insignificant things. And those members that tend to fight over those insignificant things end up putting their own interests above the interests of others within the body. And this is where backbiting occurs. This is where hypocrisy occurs. This is where gossip occurs. And rarely is the problem dealt with in these types of situations. Rarely is this type of problem dealt with proper biblical instruction. And it may be very well due to lack of biblical instruction of someone saying, hey, look, this is what a church should be like. We should be in unity together. It may be due to lack of biblical instruction. Or it may be due to lack of submission to biblical instruction. Regardless, in those type of instances, there are sin. But this should not be a reason why we break away from the local body of believers. Amen? This should not be a reason that we break away from the local body of believers. And hey, look, I get the urge and the temptation to be done with church. And I get the urge and the temptation to be cynical of everything within the church. I've had issues myself of negative experiences. And as an associate pastor in the past, I've had those experiences. And to get that deep in the church and to understand hurt not only from staff but other members of the congregation, it hurts to be a part of those things. And I get that urge to be done and cynical with that. I get the urge to even church hop. But as long as your church is gospel-centered, and as long as your church is centered on biblical preaching and teaching, as hard as it is, and as flawed as you or the church may be, you must seek reconciliation. Amen? You have to seek it. Why? Because, guess what? At the end of the day, you need one another. At the end of the day, you need me. And at the end of the day, I need you. And at the end of the day, you need you. At the end of the day, we all need each other, and sometimes that can be hard to do. And because you need one another, and the church is missing something vital to healthy church life when you go rogue, and you decide, I'm not going to be a part of church, local church life anymore. The church is missing something. And the church is missing something vital to a healthy walk with the Lord when you leave the church. Why? Because you contribute something to the church. And the church contributes something to your walk with the Lord. And this is why we need to be a part of the local body. And as members of the same body, we need to have this care for one another that Paul talks about here in verse 25. It says this. He says that there may be no division. Everybody say no division. There may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So yes, church membership is vital, is a vital part of your Christian life. It is really important to your Christian walk. Now we talk about the importance of being together with a body of believers, but in what regard? Okay, the passage in 1 Corinthians 12 that we just read talks about being a part of the local body together and not the nature of membership itself. So we're going to ask this question. You guys still with me? Amen? All right. So we're going to ask this question. In other words, is church membership a simple, get to what I'm saying? Is church membership simply gathering with the people around you, with other believers, or is church membership itself something more formal than just gathering here? You know what I'm saying? In other words, I'm going to ask a question here. Does there need to be a formal affiliation with the local church body or not? Is there a certain affiliation? Is that certain affiliation with the local body biblical or is it unbiblical? Is a certain joining, in other words, I'm going to ask it a different way, is actually officially joining the church as a member, is that a biblical mandate within Scripture or a biblical pattern within Scripture, or is it something that we've made up in the past few hundred years since we've known about local church membership? Is it something made up or is it something biblical? Excuse me. And that question is going to be our topic of conversation tonight. So come back tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll talk about this because I don't have time to go through it right now. But we're going to see tonight that being a formal member of a local church, an official member of a local church, is biblical. And it is a biblical, it is the biblical pattern within the New Testament church. And even if you are an attender and you are regular and you are involved, it's not the best form of involvement within the local body. The best form of local involvement within the local body of believers is actually to become an official member. We're going to see that tonight. So come back tonight at 6 o'clock and we'll talk about that. So let's move on to the next question. All right. What is church membership? So we talked about church membership being essential to your life because you need me, I need you, you need each other. Church membership is essential to our life. We just went over that. We'll see tonight that church membership is biblical. And so what is church membership? What does it mean to be a church member? I want to read this quote, and you have it there on your note sheet by Jonathan Lehman. He gives a great definition of church membership, and you might have to read this a couple of days. It's a little heavy, so you might have to read this. He says this: a church membership is a formal relationship between the church and a Christian, characterized by the church's affirmation and oversight of a Christian's discipleship and the Christian's submission to living out his or her discipleship in the care of the church. Now, I don't know about you, but I needed to read that just a few times just to understand all the points of that. And luckily for you, we're going to go through that definition, and we're going to pick out some things of this. There are three elements of this definition I'm going to focus on. Number one is that the church body affirms an individual's profession of faith and baptism as credible. Number two, the church body promises to give oversight to that individual's discipleship. And number three, the individual formally submits his or her discipleship to the service and authority of this body and its leaders. There's a misunderstanding of membership. We've seen membership within churches that has not been so biblical. We've seen memberships be nothing short of a social association. Or maybe we've seen church memberships act no different than just a social club, right? Just a social body to belong to. We are, in our culture, there are a ton of different clubs, there are a ton of different teams, there are a ton of different social associations that we can involve ourselves in, right? And those things are good, right? They promote community for a common purpose, right? Sometimes I think of those things, for example, a sports team or association. We just had our first baseball game yesterday with our three of our four children, and Levi got to play his kids pitch, got to be on the mound and living vicariously through him in a season of life. In one inning, strikes out two batters. I'm embarrassing you here. And so it's hey, great, wonderful. I love it, right? Being a part of a team like that. Judah rocks the ball in his little. We don't do T-ball around here. They legitimately pitch it to him. And then Danny's sitting out there in the outfield with their glove off, picking grass and picking dirt and everything like that. But they're part of a team. They're part of a team. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can just view the church as just another team effort. Something that's in season or out of season. Maybe the season for church is Christmas and Easter. Maybe we can treat the church as we do just any normal association or any club that we might be a part of. And I think this way of thinking has minimized our view of who the church actually is. And because of that, some implications play within this. A large number of local churches within the Western world, for example, we have some symptoms of this problem. If we just treat this gathering as just another team, another club, then this is some ways that we start to think about church. So here's some symptoms. When we start to treat church as just a social club or a team, we start to get these mindsets that we say, oh, you know, it's fine to attend church indefinitely without actually officially joining the church. Sometimes that mindset can creep up and we might justify in our heads, okay, that's okay. Or maybe we might say it's okay to get baptized without ever officially joining the church. Or maybe we may say it's okay to take the Lord's Supper consistently without ever officially joining the body of believers. Or we might get into this mentality of my church people are different from my weekday people and have no effort to live in partnership throughout the week with the body of Christ. You might get to the mindset, it's okay to be in the habit of being absent from church a few gatherings per month or more. Or you might get to the mindset, it's okay to make major life decisions without prayerfully concerning how it's going to affect my local body of believers. Or maybe you might get to the mindset that it's okay not to involve myself in the affairs of other members of the body. And these are false mindsets. These are unhealthy mindsets to be in. And it's a result of just viewing the church gathering, viewing the church body as nothing more than just an association, a social association or a social club. And when we view the church body as this, we grossly undervalue the church. And I want you to listen to me, and listen to me good, that the church body itself, biblically, is not just another social association. The church body itself is not just another social club to be a part of, but the church body itself is essential to our walk with the Lord. It's essential to our walk with the Lord, and Paul says so much in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible calls us to be more than this. What does the Bible call us in our relationship as the church members? What does the church body call us to do? And one of our main tasks as a church member is to, get this, further each other's walk with the Lord. That's one of our main tasks as a church member. And look, we can get caught up in services. Right? Services out here that are pretty, they're nice. We can get caught up with angling these chairs like OCD, right? Right, Frankie? We got you should have saw that. Me and Frankie yesterday, we had a tape measure out. We were lining up these chairs and poor Greer and Brittany were just throwing the chairs out and they were just watching us. And I think Brittany filmed this one time and sent it to Katie or put it in a Snapchat about it or something like that. This is what happens when you get two OCD people together, right? We can become so like focused in on getting these chairs exactly right, getting the sound exactly right, having our coffee stations exactly right, getting everything nice and pretty. We can get so caught up in serving in computer or sound or whatever, but this is not our main function and task as a Bible. Look, those things are excellent. Those things are great. I'm thankful for people like Frankie who do the chairs. I'm thankful for people like Brandon who have that ear for sound and want to make the sound great. And I'm thankful for people like Todd who want to make the building look pretty. And I'm thankful for that. And that's great. But one of our main functions in as being part of the church is not mainly that. We can't get caught up in it. But one of our main functions as the church is furthering one another in your walk with the Lord. One of our main functions as a church is meeting in your life and seeing your life and seeing how and praying for and speaking into your life how you can be made to look more like Christ today than you were yesterday. One of the main functions of being a part of the church is for you to look at me and to speak into my life and encourage me in such a way that I look more like Jesus Christ tomorrow than I do today. That is the main, one of our main functions as members of the body of Jesus Christ. And we can get so caught up in the weeds that we ignore our main function. Right? Look, all these other things, they're wonderful, they're great. I love them, right? I love all the sound. I love doing all this. I love the taking part in all the little things that we do together. And a lot of that, honestly, fosters relationships so that we can speak into one another's lives. Like yesterday, we were up here setting up for service, and it was just a great time. We had fun setting up for service, right? We have to speak to each other, and that helps us build those relationships, right? And that those are great, but we can't ignore the primary things. We can't ignore the main things. And so I'm going to give you a couple of things as we end up in here. The church member is affirmed by the church. So as a church member, here's your next point. As a church member, the rest of the body, church body, affirms your walk with the Lord. We see this in Matthew chapter 18, right? Jesus basically says, talks about church discipline. He says, go one-on-one, and if they don't receive that you have a sinning brother, someone who is not in walking according I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is that this person used to be considered part of the local church, and now he or she has gotten to the point where we as the church cannot affirm that they're actually walking with the Lord. And this focusing on church discipline, and this focusing on removing a brother or sister, or a supposed brother or sister from the body of believers, yes, we are called to do that if a person is unrepentant. And that's hard to hear, and that's hard to practice, because we don't want to remove anybody, right? We don't want to look at any brother or sister and say, you know, I can't affirm your walk with the Lord, but we're called to do that by Christ himself. And that's one of the hard ones. But when someone stands before you, you take that in the opposite direction. When someone wants to join this body of believers, they stand before you, and whenever I say, you know, how many of you have received them into the body, can you give me a hearty amen? And you look at that person and you say amen. What you are saying is based on this person's confession, we affirm that this person is a citizen of the kingdom of God. And that's one of the tasks of the church, that we look at each other and we affirm each other and we encourage each other in their work with the Lord. Amen? Number two is this. I promise you I'm going to end this one. The second one is this. Is that the church faithfully disciples the member. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, he says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so it does what? It builds itself up together in love. And this is discipleship. This is your next plan. As a church member, the church has a responsibility to disciple you, to train you, and to equip you. And as a church member, you have the responsibility to disciple, train, and equip other believers in the local body. And we relate to one another in this way through love. The third point I want to point out here is this. A member submits his or her discipleship to the service and authority of the church, body, and its leaders. So here's your last point. As a church member, you are agreeing to be held accountable by the church. You are agreeing to serve in such a way that you disciple one another in the church and be held accountable by each other. And this is why the title of the message is Mutual Accountability. Because as we live as the local body of believers, listen to me, church, that you and I are mutually accountable to one another for our walk with the Lord. Now, listen, I get it. This message about being a church member and what it means to be a church member is not flashy. And it's not one of those that you're going to leave out of here and you're going to be like, man, that message just, but you may be, and praise God if that is, but you're not going to be, man, this spoke to me and I just need to repent and everything like that. But I believe that here at Trace Street and every local church, we need to understand what it means to be a part of the body of Christ locally. We need to understand that you need each other. You need to understand that we are essential to each other's walk with the Lord, and hopefully this encourages you to do what? To look at other members of the body and to look at them and speak into their life and to encourage them to walk with the Lord as we walk together. Amen? And then so next week what we're going to